Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This past Sunday, a family shared with me that their 6-year-old son decided to fast for me one day. I've been sharing this left and right. First of all, because I'm humbled, and apparently I needed it, and you saw that. But second, I can't stop marveling. Just what does that do to a kid? He's not even the age of reason. He doesn't have to fast during Lent, but he couldn't hold himself back from, "I want to do this for someone." What does that do to a kid? To recognize, I can deny myself as an act of discipline. A kid has the discipline and also the faith that God is going to see that I'm making this small sacrifice. And the charity of that faith saying, "God will see this, and I want it to be for the good of someone else." If that kid keeps doing that for 10 years, and he's 16, what kind of man is this kid going to become? I can't help marvel just what that will do to him. But today we're not fasting. Today we're feasting. As St. Paul tells us today, "Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Today in the feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of our Lord, we thank God that he gave us himself in the Eucharist. Pope Benedict XVI had the boldness to say that God became man, Many theologians comment, of course, God became man so that he might experience what humanity goes through. He might know our suffering, and that he might take up our suffering, die, rise again, so that we might live with him forever in heaven. God became man for all of that. But Pope Benedict XVI dares to say, God became man so that he might become bread. That God, from his heart, desires to have the chance to give himself to us in such a radical way that he became bread. He left us the Eucharist so that we could come to every Mass so that he might give himself to us, so that every time we come forward for communion, the priest says, "The body of Christ," we say, "Amen." That Jesus would have the chance to literally give himself away to us. That is the heart of God, that he longs to give himself like that. A good friend of mine came to the church just recently, and her reaction to finally understanding what the Eucharist was, for receiving the faith that God's heart is like that in the Eucharist, that he wants to give himself away, and that's actually him. Her response was, "I'm ruined." That the Eucharist has ruined my life. Once you realize this is true, and that his heart is that real, the only response is, I'm ruined, and my life is completely changed because of Jesus' heart in the Eucharist, who longs to give himself away. That our Lord in the Eucharist, his body and blood, has a heart so real, so longing to give himself, that our response can only be to give ourselves back. And we do this in the total gift of self, every single Mass, coming here every Sunday and saying, Jesus, you long to give yourself to me, I give myself back to you. But it has particular flavors. The priesthood is one. The joy of being a servant of the Eucharist, celebrating the Mass day in, day out, bringing the Eucharist to people in the hospitals, giving my life away just to serve the Eucharist. Another, consecrated religious life, women who devote their lives to have nothing but Jesus, that is, nothing but the Eucharist, to have no joy but the greatest joy there is, their beloved spouse, Jesus in the Eucharist. That's not all. Priesthood, religious life, is not the only flavor, vehicle of giving your life back to the Lord for love of him in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the blueprint of marriage. That marriage is not, you know, the normal marriage thing, and we'll sprinkle Christianity on top. Marriage does not make sense without the Eucharist. When we come before our Lord in the Eucharist, we see what marriage is. The greatest articulation of the union of two is, this is my body given up for you. When we come forward every Mass to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we see him give himself away for his beloved. And that is marriage. Giving up one's life, one's body, one's soul, for the other so much that one's life actually becomes an image, an icon of the Eucharist. Complete gift of self, so much that the two become one, just as Jesus gave himself away completely so that he might become one with each of us. And so, what does it do to a marriage when one spends one's life gazing upon the Eucharist, eating, feasting upon the Eucharist? What does that do to a marriage when it's not just an obligation I have to fill every Sunday, but actually the gift I gnaw on, I feed on, I need the Eucharist, the gift that I have to go before our Lord in adoration and gaze upon him, that I study Jesus in the Eucharist to learn how to live my life, specifically in my marriage, in my family? That priesthood, religious life, yes, are Eucharistic. But we have Eucharistic families, and that families don't make sense without the Eucharist. The edge of your pews, I invite you guys to pass down to individually. This is not a call out, you must do this. This is simply an invitation. If this is how you want to foster a Eucharistic devotion in your family, there's no badge for your Eucharistic family, here you go. No. It's just giving your life away in love to Jesus in the Eucharist. That Jesus deserves our love. Jesus deserves our attention. And what does it do to a kid when he sees his parents every Sunday come to Mass? Every now and then his parents go to Mass another time, or even take their kids with him. What does it do to a kid when he sees that his parents go to bend their knee before Jesus in the oratory? What does it do to a kid when he's invited along and his parents suffer through the difficulty that is, that he can experience his family kneeling before their king, that he can experience silence, he can experience that it's actually Jesus, and seeing his parents the faith and the love before Jesus in the Eucharist? I think that is the greatest thing for vocations, when we just bring our kids before Jesus in the Eucharist. If Jesus wants them to be priests, religious, he'll take it from there. If Jesus wants them to be married, that is where they'll learn how to have a marriage that is a complete gift of self, the point of union. So take a card, pray with it if the Lord's calling you to, sign up for some commitment, weekly, monthly, of your family coming to the oratory. But whatever it is, Jesus wants to give himself away to the point of union. And parents, he entrusts you discipling your children how to give yourself away to the point of union and whatever the vocation they're called to. Whatever that is, the secret, the blueprint of that life will be Jesus in the Eucharist.